This is the Zach and Zuri Show.
Welcome. Today's podcast clip comes from an interview with Professor Akant Veer from the University of Canterbury.
So the University of Canterbury, they offered you a lecturing role? Was it senior lecturer?
Senior lecturer below the bar. I don't know if you have bars in Australia, but we have like lecturer and then we've got senior lecturer, and senior lecturer above the bar is kind of like the equivalent of associate professor back in the US sort of system. So I was below the bar, just below the bar, went above the bar and then associate professor, now full professor. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's sort of one of the things that going to the ANSMAC conferences really enlightened me about. So I didn't know that this occurred. Like, I kind of imagined this, you know, large scale committee of hooded people who had been in academia, who were like the guardians and custodians of titles and
smoking pipes.
Yeah, you had to go, you know, make a sacrifice. Yeah, anyway. What I realized was that I'd meet someone at ANSMAC and I'd, you know, get to know them and say that they were a senior lecturer, and then I'd see them at the next ANSMAC and I'd be like, oh, you're an associate professor now, you got promoted. And they'd say, no, I moved from X university to Y university.
Yeah.
Oh, they can just give you that title. I know you've like earned that title because of it, but that's one way of getting promoted, right? I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah. And to be honest, and I'll be deadly serious about this, academia is a weird sort of space where if I was a head of department and I was driven by neoliberalism and everything like that, why would I pay Zach more to do the job he's already doing? Mm-hmm. You know, he's not necessarily doing any extra. He's not producing more as a professor versus a senior lecturer. Mm-hmm. So let's just pay him as a senior lecturer. And so there are departments like that. And so sometimes you have the value of an associate professor at another department. And so it's easier to progress diagonally, to leave and go down. Internal promotions, we tend to treat our own people pretty poorly. There are times where I've seen people been hired in who don't have the qualifications of someone more junior than them or don't have the publications, but they, sometimes it doesn't happen. I'm very fortunate that Canterbury is very transparent and they don't have that. We're very top heavy in our marketing department. Like, I think out of 10 of us, there's 7 full professors. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's not a great look in my mind. We should be able to bring more juniors in, but this, because we love it so much, we've stayed and we've all progressed through and now we're all at that level. And we have no interest right now to leave because we enjoy working here so much. But we have to be able to show we can bring juniors through. And this is where far out. When was the last time we hired a professor? I don't think we've hired a professor for 15 years. Everyone's been promoted to professor internally, which is great. I think that shows progression. That's rare, though. It's not common. Most people have to move. I made a commitment to try and keep my kids' high school stable. I moved between countries during high school. I moved between schools, and it was really disruptive for me during high school. So I thought, you know, even if I don't get promoted, I'm staying here for the 7-8 years my kids are at high school, and then we'll decide. But it seems to have treated me well in any way.
Yeah. I mean, you, especially younger when your kids were much younger, moving was easier. But as they got older, they weren't. And if you were in, say, like Melbourne, what is it, like 8 or 9 universities in Melbourne in Australia? So yeah. I see all of the time LinkedIn updates of someone moving from Deakin to Swinburne to RMIT, then maybe to Monash. And it's like all of a sudden someone's like an associate professor. And it's like, whoa, how did you do that?
You can rapidly move that way. I mean, one of the things that Uncle Rod told me, Rob Brody told me, he says, buy a house in Birmingham, Akant, when you move to England. I'm like, why? Because there's 8 world-class universities within an hour's commute. You never need to move. You can just move between great universities and just take the train between them. I'm like, that's really smart. That is the way to do it. But I'm not as driven by the almighty dollar, as you know. Not so driven by promotion, although it does make a huge difference. And you'll find it as you get promoted up the ranks, how people treat you differently. I don't feel any different, but people treat you differently. And I think that's important to reflect upon as well.
Yeah, I kind of I have no interest in moving. And even if I did want to, the only other university I'd move to is closed. Well, not close. We're merging. So the promotion system is something I'll have to go through, which can be, like you said, it can be a bit of a cruel system where potentially they treat you worse than an external person. But I feel like if I keep chipping away, it'd be good. And like you have to keep reminding me, I'm not that old. And I should be a bit more. I got told at Perth last year at ANSMAC that I need to be more patient, which is kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay. Look, let me fire back at that. I think it's okay to be patient. I think it's also okay to get what you deserve and not be ashamed of getting what you deserve. If you're smashing the publications, if you're kicking ass in the classroom, then people should recognize that. And I think you should be okay to fight for that and be disappointed if you don't get it. So I see plenty of people around the world who have not been promoted when I've gone, these people are world class. What the hell? This is an injustice. And I think it's okay to be angry about that. But we also know that if you're willing to be strategic, you're willing to move, you're willing to do all this sort of stuff, you could accelerate quickly. Is that the life you want? I've moved continents plenty of times. I don't really want to do that too much just yet. Maybe in 5 years' time, when now my kids are nearly out of high school, maybe I'll start thinking about that again. But for now, I'm very happy being treated well and working my hardest, you know, to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned that, like, the promotion system at Canterbury is quite transparent. What did you mean by transparent in that
sense? Yeah, great question. There are times where some institutions, some departments will tell you, do this, and it'll help you with promotion. And then you go for promotion, and they said, yeah, that thing, that doesn't count. You know, that, yeah, you should have published another paper. You shouldn't have picked up that extra teaching. You shouldn't have done that service role. You should have published it. But at the time, they say, hey, this will really look good because you need to do X, Y, Z to be promoted. I've never found that at Canterbury, which is great. They have been very upfront and said, nah, just get the publications and here's a good service thing to do, or here's a good, get good grades in teaching and they will count. But they were very open about research is the thing that we really care about. So keep the publications going. And if you can also do this other stuff, awesome. But the publication's the key thing. It was also, it's really nice that we have specific targets. They said, if you hit this, 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 and this, and this, it's very hard for the committee to say no. I will be upfront. I believe when I went for my first promotion, I'd only been here for 8 months, but it'd been like a year before I'd been offered the job and getting here. They gave me a bit more time to pack up the family and stuff. And in that time, I'd actually achieved a significant amount as well. So I went for senior lecturer above the bar in my first year here. That's pretty arrogant, but I was like, I think I know my worth. I think I should have been hired above the bar anyway, so I'm going to try. And apparently I hear from the HR manager at the time, who's no longer working here, said, yeah, there was a long discussion. And there was a few people said, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look good. It doesn't feel right that he's getting promoted. And one of the people in the room said, if ACANT appeals this decision, and you say, but it didn't feel right, that's not going to help us, right? So what does it say by the book? What are the targets we've set? Has he achieved those targets? Yes, then promote him. None of this feelings, none of this wishy-washy. So there's that. There have been other times where I have heard that they can only promote one person. And so even if you've got two people that deserve a promotion, they will only promote one of them. And so one person almost gets sacrificed to promote someone else. And we've never had that at Canterbury. The finances and the academic are kept very separate. So church and state is kept very separate. And so the decisions are made by people who do not deal with the finances, which is great. And then we work out the finances later, which is a difficult model. But I think it's a good model because it says this person deserves to be promoted and we don't worry about how much it costs. So little things like that, I think, is important. I think we also try our best to take care of our juniors. So we kind of come around our younger academics and say, hey, look, you know how you were told by XYZ to do this extra service thing or something? That's actually not going to help. They're just trying to get out of a job. Focus on XYZ. We'll talk to them. So the same way that Avi Shankar back in Bath protected me, I try my best to protect our juniors here as well and try to see them rise up the ranks that way. So little things like that, I think, build a stronger culture within the group.
Yeah. Oh, that all sounds really quite amazing, actually. Is it a long period? So do you put in an application, say, May, and then you find out in September, October, or?
Yeah, it's about that. I think I think that's the formal period. Around June, I think, is when you put it in, and around November is when you finally hear, kind of October is when the committee meets, that sort of thing. And so it might have been at maybe the New South Wales DC or something, but I was asked to speak on accelerating your career, basically. And I found this list of goals that I had set myself when I finished my Viva. I did my PhD Viva and I wrote down what are my career goals going to be. And the top one is be a full professor at a research institution by the age of 40. And I found out 3 days after my 40th birthday that I made full professor. So I count that as a failure, all right? I said before 40, not 3 days after my birthday. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you have to, but the process of me applying for professor, I started about a year earlier. This is something I think a lot of young academics do poorly, is that they go, I'm going to go for promotion. Let me write up my CV and push it out. Terrible idea. Just don't do it. Write it up. Share it with someone you trust. Get their feedback, adapt, grow. I love working with people who trust me. And I sit down and I say, I'm going to talk about you like I'm your mom or your dad. I'm going to say how proud I am, how amazing you are. But it's really hard sometimes for us to talk about that ourselves. What does this line mean? Pull that to the top, that sort of thing. So about the year before I went for professors, when I started writing my application, and I sent it to 3 or 4 full professors who had sat on the committee in the past from different fields. So an engineer, a person from education, someone from science, because they're the ones who are going to be assessing me. And I said, tell me what doesn't make sense here. Tell me what can help, that sort of thing. And then just writing it up, submitting it, it can work. And I have seen that before. It's a risky way to do it. I think a little bit more time, then putting it in and then kind of waiting, kind of going, all right, have I got it? It's really hard to know. That it's tense time. It's like waiting for your marks after exams. It's awful.
Yeah. So a really good strategy then is to like plan ahead and a significant amount of time ahead and to get feedback from people who are not directly in your field because they're the people who are going to be assessing you. Yeah, which I think is
especially as well. Yeah, especially at associate professor and professor. I don't know about senior lecturer, but definitely at those higher grades, it's a central committee at most universities in the Commonwealth. The other thing I would start doing is as soon as you become an academic, not when you start thinking about promotion, but as soon as you start getting into academia, start collecting evidence. People don't care about the strong vibes and the feel and the marbo of this. They care about the evidence. And so when a student sends you an email to say, just so you know, Zach, I really enjoyed your class. It really helped open my eyes. I'm going into marketing as a result. You put that email into an email folder and you hold on to it, called student feedback. When you get recognition from a conference where someone said, that was probably one of the best presentations I've ever heard, you get an email about that, you stick that into that folder. And then you can start to create a narrative around evidence. As you grow in your academic career and you start getting more publications, then it becomes more metrics-based and H indices and things like that. But you still need to have the evidence. Just saying, I'm a 4.8 out of 5 teacher, I have 3 publications, hurry up and promote me. It's just not good enough. You know, you really need to show, well, why does this matter? Why do people care? How do you form this into a way that not only have had 3 publications a year, but these 2 have been used in developing public policy? This one was reported on in CNN, blah, blah, blah. This shows not just academic, but non-academic esteem. Gather that evidence. If you have to do that 1 week before the applications close for promotion, it's really hard kind of juggling everything, stressful. It doesn't look good. You don't get the feedback, that sort of stuff. So get that evidence together as well.
Oh, that's, yeah, brilliant advice.
Hey guys, it's Zach Ainsbury here with just a couple of quick reminders. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, then make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. There are plenty more interviews to come with some of the world's leading marketing academics and practitioners. You do not want to miss these. In the meantime, if you're looking for another way to connect, then follow me on Twitter at Zach Ainsbury. That is ZACANESBURY. For my take on the marketing issues of the day.
That was the Zach Ainsbury Show.